This is 89.9 WWNL. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. A treasure trove of cultural activities abound at the fairgrounds as the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival kicks off this weekend. Whether you're in the mood for a cultural exchange experience, a throwback to yesteryear with a look at a centuries-old trade, or an art exhibit by an iconic singer, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Punta Music, Central American and Caribbean arts and culture will come alive as Jazz Fest celebrates Belize. The Cultural Exchange Pavilion and nearby festival stages will host a medley of unique traditions and musical styles. Joining me to talk about this cultural exchange are pavilion coordinator Valerie Guille and Sal Figueroa, former Belize ambassador to Mexico. Welcome.
Thank you, Diane. This must be quite a feat to pull together. How did the exchange come about?
The Cultural Exchange Pavilion is dedicated to a culture or a country every year at Jazz Fest. And decades ago, our producer traveled to Belize and really stumbled upon the Garifuna Settlement Day in Belize in November. That's an annual celebration of the arrival of the first Garifunas in Belize. He was very struck by the strength of this community, their tradition, their music, their food, and how much of African heritage there was in Belize. That stayed with him, and as we were brainstorming about a country to feature at Jazz Fest, he really thought that Belize would be a great fit for this year.
The Garifuna people, who are they?
Garifuna, or Garinagu, as they're also known, are a people from West Africa who were taken as slaves to the Caribbean island, particularly St. Vincent, where they met up with the Arawak natives, and out of that union came what they referred to as Garifuna people. They lived there for a couple hundred years, and between 1796 and 1823, they were expelled by British settlers. They basically were put on boats and put in the Caribbean Sea and landed in Belize, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua, primarily Honduras and Belize. So they've been in Belize since 1823. Garifuna Settlement Day, which is November 19th, celebrates their arrival in Belize in 1823.
Now, is there a cultural connection between New Orleans and Belize?
There is actually a Garifuna community in New Orleans from Honduras. It's a transnational culture and community. The blending of influences, European, African, indigenous, is the same path that New Orleans has taken and Louisiana has taken in terms of the culture here. So we can see these parallels in the art, in the music, in the food.
For example?
Rice and beans.
Rice and beans, okay.
Belize is the only country in Central America that uses red beans instead of black beans, just like here in New Orleans.
And carnival, do we share that?
Carnival exists in Belize, but not in the same way as it does in New Orleans. It's celebrated in the fall or early winter. But there is a connection between Belize and New Orleans. For instance, New Orleans was the first U.S. city that had a flight from Belize that landed in the United States. So everyone used to come here. My family ended up in New Orleans because of the mahogany trade and the chicle trade. In those days, chicle gum was made out of natural gum that was cut out of the trees of Belize and traded. So my great-grandfather came to New Orleans to trade chicle and mahogany.
So now, how will we experience the traditions of Belize at Jazz Fest?
We have dedicated the Cultural Exchange Pavilion to Belize. It's a large space, tent, in the middle of the field. There is a stage with Belizean bands. We have five bands coming over both weekends. They will perform every day at the festival in the Belize tent and also on some of the other stages, on Congo stage, on Jazz and Heritage stage. A lot of really fun music to dance to. And also, every year we bring individual artists to showcase visual arts, master artisans that will demonstrate their process in front of the public. And we invite people to ask questions. And learn about Belize.
Can you tell us what specific arts will be demonstrated?
So we have some very special guests and a wide range of artists. Florencio Mez, for example, is a Maya harp master. He's one of the last ones of his kind. He's 78 years old. Will be coming to the pavilion to demonstrate how he builds and makes harps and string instruments in the Maya tradition with very rudimentary tools. Everything comes from nature, from the jungle around his house. He will also perform. On the other side of the spectrum, we have a carnival costume designer who builds this very interesting, elaborate walking floats. David Mattis is going to be at the pavilion showing what carnival costumes look like in Belize. We also have a traditional demonstration of baking cassava bread, one of the staple food of the Garifunas.
Now, in addition to the foods and the arts, there are several types of music that we will be introduced to.
Belize is quite diverse for being such a small country, but I think the bands primarily are concentrating on the Garifuna peoples, are they not?
We do definitely feature Garifuna sounds and rhythms with the Garifuna Collective on first weekend, and also Punta Rock, the very intense and explosive rhythms of Sweet Pain, performing both weekends with the addition of Chico Ramos and Super G on second weekend. But we're also bringing the Creole sounds of Belize with Brad Patico and the Talawala Creole drummers. Different rhythms. The Breakdown is a rhythm from the Creole cultural group. They will present that sound and also Creole folk songs from Belize. On the more traditional side, the Wagerali drummers from the Garifuna community. That is the pure or the more traditional form of drumming and singing. The singing is very important in that group.
What do the Garifunas sing about?
They sing about history a lot. They sing about their culture and their traditions. There are people who have really embraced their history and really try to hold on to it.
And punta music, what exactly is that?
Intense music, if I might. It's very sexual. It's very demonstrative. It's a combination of Caribbean and Latin American influences. In punta music, the instruments involved are a combination of drums, guitars, synthesizers, things like that. There's a lot of talent in the Garifuna community, both musically and artistically.
What are you hoping folks will take away from this cultural experience?
What struck us when we traveled to Belize was the diversity in such a small country, to have all these different groups, Maya, Creole, Mestizo, and Garifuna.
Yeah, it's something that we're very proud of. In Belize, with 350,000 people, we get along, and that's something that we really love about Belize.
Sal Figueroa, former Belize ambassador to Mexico, and Valerie Guille, Cultural Exchange Pavilion Coordinator. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you,
Thank
Diane.
You.
Culture, traditions, music, and secrets are revealed as Jazz Fest celebrates Belize both weekends in the Cultural Exchange Pavilion. Across the way in the Louisiana Folklife Village, you can watch a master blacksmith craft decorative ironwork. Metal artisan and native New Orleanian, Daryl Reeves is keeping alive a centuries-old tradition, using his artistic skills to restore architectural ironwork at historic sites, as well as creating contemporary railings and furniture. Daryl Reeves is here. Welcome.
How you doing?
You know, you don't hear the term blacksmith much anymore. Just what is a blacksmith?
At one time, a community couldn't survive without one. A blacksmith is somebody that shapes metal. You take raw metal out of the ground, separate it, which you don't have to do too much today, and pretty much design the metal you want to work with the amount of carbon you want in it, and shape, do whatever you want with it. All depending on the project.
How were you first attracted to metalwork?
I always enjoyed artistic things. As a kid, I used to do a lot of models and used to paint a lot. And out of high school, my first job was a tacker, somebody that connects metal together. I started at Avondale, and from there I went into welding. From there I got drafted, put 2 years in the military, came out, put myself through electronic school welding, and it pretty much, as a welder, fitter, I started shaping a lot of metal. 3 years in late 70s, I saw that nobody was really doing any authentic blacksmith work, especially with all the hardware we have in this city. So my family has an awning company, so even though I was repairing computers at the time, I was working off a radio, so I had a lot of time on my hands. Spent a lot of time in my parents' shop, and we did a lot of awning work in the quarters. And customers kept asking me if I knew anybody that could make these old strap hinges and hooks and latches, and I didn't really know anybody. Until one day a woman told me how much she'll pay for a strap hinge, and I knew it was something that I could do. I knew it was something I could take and put my hand on and actually fabricate. So that's how I got the interest. I saw the market, and nobody was doing it properly. We didn't have anybody in the city at the time that was actually fabricating this old hardware the way it should be done. They was doing it by welding pieces and kind of making it look like the old stuff, but I saw a market that you could actually fabricate this stuff the way it was fabricated back in the day, and you could make a living at it.
Hand forging.
Uh-huh. That's the artwork. I've had cast pieces that I've restored from scratch that instead of doing the molds, I'll actually freehand the pieces. And believe me, it's a big visual difference between a hand-fabricated piece and a piece that's pulled in the mold.
Was there an ancestor that perhaps inspired you to go into blacksmithing?
My grandfather is Clifton Joseph out of Donaldsonville. During the summer, we spent our summers out there with my grandfather, my grandmother, and where our family property is in the middle of two plantations, Palata Plantation and Sinema Plantation, 300-acre plantations. And my grandfather was actually a blacksmith on Sinema Plantation. As a kid in the 50s, as my grandfather was winding down his working life, he was highly respected. And to say in the 50s, that was pretty unusual for a black person, especially in the middle of two plantations. He actually was a blacksmith on Sinema Plantation. I wish I would have known him younger. Maybe I would have learned something. That's where I probably got it from. That's probably my gene pool. It's a passion. I mean, people see me working, and I'm working on top of that fire. I'm swinging a mauler on an anvil. They seem like it's a lot of work. This is not work for me.
It seems like it's awful hot.
All depends on what you call hot. I have a gas forge and a coal forge. Now, the gas forge is a forge that's roughly 2,000 degrees. Steel's going to melt right about 2,100 degrees. I have a coal forge, which is old school. That's burning green coal out of the ground. That forge gets to be 3,100 degrees. So we're dealing with some pretty hot metal. Like I said, it's enjoyable to me. This is my kind of job.
Can you tell us about some of your most notable public commissions?
I've fabricated and built the fence at the Cabildo. I did restoration on Chalmette Cemetery entrance gates. Those gates was fabricated in 1871. After 100-something years of repair and disrepair and somebody running into it with a car, it was like a spaghetti. And I basically tore it apart, straightened everything out, did a proper fabrication on the broken parts, and put it back together. And that was a good one. I like complex. I'm not the one that's going to have a big interest in something simple. I done a fabrication on Professor Longhair on the neutral ground by Tipitina's. I've done countless restoration jobs in the city.
Now, you will be showing your talent at Jazz Fest. Can you tell us what we'll see in the demonstration?
Me and my wife, Lolette Reeves, it's a partnership. I do the fabrication, but she's the one who runs the business. But we set up at Jazz Fest, and I have an outside booth with my coal forge and anvil and do live demonstrations. It's like a magic show. I take a raw piece of metal, I heat it up, and I shape different objects with it and designs and patterns. I could pull out a pattern out of a square or a round piece of metal that you couldn't even imagine could come out of it, and I do it in a matter of minutes. Kids get a kick out of it, but adults too, once they see me doing what I do.
Do you think that your demonstration at Jazz Fest might inspire someone?
I'm pretty sure it does. I have some kids that follow. I have adults that follow. Every year, they come back and they tell me about the projects they've been working on, and that's promising.
Daryl Reeves, master blacksmith and metal artisan. Thanks.
Thank you.
You'll find Daryl Reeves hand-forging metal in the Louisiana Folklife Pavilion this weekend at Jazz Fest. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The New Orleans Museum of Art is set to open a showing of paintings done by one of the world's most famous singer-songwriters. Eileen Fleming reports it's time to coincide with the start of Jazz Fest.
Everybody knows this guy.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? Yes, and how many seas must a white dove see before she sleeps in the sand?
Of course, that's Bob Dylan, but the show highlights his work on canvas.
There's a certain quality that the tonalities that he's choosing to work with are very subdued, you know, grays, whites, blacks, browns, very muted kind of palette. The brushwork is quite minimal, but they're very descriptive of and evocative of a particular mood.
That's Lisa Rotondo McCord, curator at the New Orleans Museum of Art's show on Dylan's painting. The pieces are still arriving at the museum from around the world, and the staff is still designing the outdoor banner. She outlined the ideas behind the exhibit from her office in the museum basement.
How did this Bob Dylan show come about? When did that start to be discussed here as a possibility?
We've been talking about it for a little over a year, I believe. There was an exhibition in Milan of some of this series and the New Orleans series. And some of our board members and trustees heard about it. Some of them saw it. So various people within the Noma family kind of became aware of his work that focused on New Orleans around the same time. And so then through various means, we have been in communication with his representatives and talking about the possibility of having the show here. And it just didn't coalesce until very, very recently. So
was it always aimed at Jazz Fest to time it with Jazz Fest?
It really was serendipitous. We were talking about a number of different time frames, but it seemed as though we could do it this year. And if we were going to do it this year, we wanted to make sure that it coincided with the festival season.
Tell me about what's going to be in the Great Hall. What are the, how many pieces? Where do they come from?
Sure. So the exhibition is actually going to be divided into two parts. So the Great Hall, when the exhibition opens on Friday, we'll have 8, possibly 9, depending on the layout, of the 23 paintings that are part of the series. We're able to show 17 of those paintings. Some of them are in private collections. Others are in the collection of the artist. Others in the collection of his gallery. So we'll have 7, 8, 9 in the first rotation, and then the remainder in the second.
When did he start painting?
So there's an early album cover that he painted. I don't remember the year, but it was decades ago. And then he has always, I guess, sketched, and I'm not sure if he continued to paint throughout his career. I suspect he has. But this New Orleans series is one of a number of thematic paintings and drawing series that he's done in the last 20 years. So he worked on a series that's called Drawn Blank, and that was sketches originally. So as he traveled throughout the world, as he performed, living different places, he did a series of sketches over a 10-year period. And he was talking about this work and showed it to a curator in Europe. She saw it, was really impressed, and wanted to do an exhibition. So there was an exhibition of those drawings initially. And then a number of years later, he was able to translate those sketches into paintings, which is evidently how he originally thought of them. He thought of them as preparatory sketches for a series of paintings.
Has he spoken about New Orleans? What is it about New Orleans that served as his muse?
Well, he's written at least the first volume of his autobiography, which is called Chronicles. And there are a number of passages in the book about New Orleans. And probably the most famous one is when he says, "There are many places I like, but I like New Orleans better." So I believe that for maybe in the 80s, early 90s, that he was here a lot.
Is it unusual for a musician to be proficient in a totally different form of art?
I don't think it is. I think we just tend to categorize people by one media. So we think of, if you're a singer, you're a singer. If you're an actor, you're an actor. We don't think of the many, many ways that very creative people manifest that creativity. So I don't think it's particularly unusual. It's just that many of those artists choose not to share their work in other realms.
Any chance that he will come?
That I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, but I have no idea. So,
well, if you post them, they he will come.
He will come. That's right. I hope so. I would hope so. I'd hope he'd enjoy. I'm sure he'd enjoy seeing his paintings here. It's obviously a city he loves, and a place he enjoys being, but obviously he travels a lot and performs a lot. So I don't know if his schedule will allow a visit here, but we certainly hope so.
Lisa Rotondo McCord, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
The Bob Dylan New Orleans exhibit opens Friday and runs through July 31st. The paintings will be rotated in two shows in the Great Hall. The second set will be displayed in mid-June. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.